Antoine Fisher was born in prison. His mother was convicted and sent to jail after she became pregnant with Antoine. 2 months before he was born, Antoine's father was shot and killed by another woman. So before he saw the light of the sun, he saw the inside of the prison. Surrounded by criminals and locked up in a cage, it seemed Antoine's life was destined to fail. Since his father was dead and his mother was in prison, the Department of Social Welfare took the baby boy and placed him in a home where a family was supposed to take care of him. When he was 2 years old, he was sent to live with the Pickett family, and it was there that his suffering intensified. Antoine was beaten, chained, and attacked. For 14 years, he was abused and neglected, surrounded by people who did not love him. He was constantly told that he was a failure, that he was a bad boy, a loser. Over and over again, they insulted and condemned him. You'll never be anything. It would have been better had you not been born. The influence of other people around him nearly destroyed little Antoine. The boy had been removed from the prison of iron and steel, but placed instead in a prison of hatred, hopelessness, and harm. It looked as if Antoine had no future. Having grown up surrounded by hatred and hurt, it was no surprise when Antoine lived to pass on that hurt to others. He grew up and fell into a life of crime, drugs, and poverty. But when Antoine was a young adult, something happened that would change his life forever. Antoine met a man named Dr. David Jeremiah. Dr. Jeremiah saw something in Antoine that others had overlooked. Dr. Jeremiah saw a man created in the image of God, a man with talents, a man with compassion, a man with intelligence. And so Dr. Jeremiah began to reach out in love to Antoine, encouraging him and showing him his potential. Slowly but steadily, Dr. Jeremiah's friendship broke through to Antoine's heart. The same weapons that had been used to oppress him were now used to liberate him. Whereas those surrounding him previously had led him down a path of destruction, now he surrounded himself with people who would lead him on a path of life. And before long, Antoine was free. Free from the abuse, free from the pain, free from the hurt and the hate of the past. Today, Antoine Fisher is a successful writer living in California, USA. His story is so inspiring, it was made into a feature film starring Denzel Washington. There are many helpful lessons we can learn from the life of Antoine Fisher, but perhaps the greatest one of all is this. There is power in friendship. People were used to bind Antoine, and people were used to liberate him. Friends were used to hurt him, but friends were used to heal him. Friends brought death, but other friends brought life. His friends shaped his future. And that's the powerful lesson we're going to learn in this morning's sermon called Your Friends Equal Your Future. By God's grace, we're going to discover the amazing influence friends have on our lives. And we're going to see how we can shift our future by shifting our friends. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for gathering us in your presence today. We come to sit at your feet and learn of you. As we've entered your presence with worship now, we pray that we would enter revelation by your Spirit's impartation. I submit this people to you, and I bind every spirit of the enemy that would come against them. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over our hearts, and I command every voice that would deceive or disturb or distract us to be silent and gone in Jesus' name. Loose the power of the Holy Spirit upon us today, we pray, Lord, that we might be liberated by the truth, that your name would be glorified, and we would be changed, and our world will be touched. We thank you and we praise you now in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I'd like to invite you to take a moment and pray with me. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. We preach our messages in series here, usually 3 to 6 weeks, because we want to take enough time to really focus on what God is saying to us. And that's what we're doing today. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at how friends shape our lives and how we can harness the power of friendship to build a better life. We're going to be looking at what God says about friendship and how we can shift our future by shifting our friends. Now, every week to help us study the Word of God, we print what we call sermon notes. They're in your bulletin today. They look like this. And I want to invite you to take them out so you can follow along with me as we study the truth about friendship from the Word of God. And right there at the top of your page and on the screen behind me, you'll find our scripture text for today. It summarizes our message in this sermon. And I want to invite us all to read it out loud together. It's found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Would you do me a favor and just read it like a preacher on radio today? All right, here we go. Proverbs 13, 20. Ready, go. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. That's such a short, simple, but powerful truth. Let's read it together again. Are you ready? Here we go. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. What a powerful promise we find in these few short words. If you walk with the wise, you'll become wise. And you know, that's a powerful promise because every one of us needs wisdom. We're all in need of wisdom. Maybe you came here this morning looking for wisdom. You've got directions that you need to decide upon or decisions you need to make. Maybe you're here and you're seeking God for a decision. God has wisdom for you. At Agape House, we put value on learning His Word of God, the Word of God, because it gives us wisdom. That's why we print sermon notes and study guides. That's why we have a powerful children's program and a teen Sunday school, all designed to impart the wisdom of God to the people in our church. And here we have a promise from the Lord. He begins to tell us how we can get that wisdom we need. One of the main ways, He says, if you walk with the wise, you'll be wise. In other words, spend time with wise people and do life together with wise people, and you yourself will become wise. And I think that's good news because it says to me, wisdom is contagious. Just tell your neighbor, wisdom is contagious. But there's also a warning in this verse, because not only is wisdom contagious, but the Bible says foolishness is also contagious. It says the companion of fools will be destroyed. And listen, friends, it doesn't just say the companion of fools will become foolish. It says not only will he become foolish, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. The CEV says if you go around with fools, you will hurt yourself. The Message Bible says hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. But here's the interesting fact we need to glean from this scripture. The power to be wise or foolish, it's really up to you. You see, friends, it's your choice who you associate with. It's your choice who you hang out with. What friends you have, what close advisors you have, they're all people you choose. It's your choice. So tell your neighbor today, it's your choice. And the good thing about that is you can change your choice. Maybe you came into Agape House this morning and you realize you've made some bad choices. You've done some foolish things. You're hanging out with the wrong crowd. But it's your choice that can be changed. Today you can make a decision to shift your future by shifting your friends. So this morning I want to give you 3 steps you can take today to build a better future through better friends. And here's the first step you need to take. Understand the powerful influence of friends. If you have a pen, just fill in the blanks with the words powerful and influence. Understand the powerful influence of friends. I've made a statement for years in our church because I think it's so true. I'm going to repeat it again today. I believe that this is a fact as based upon the Word of God. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. God says it like this in Psalms chapter 1 verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. And friend, God is telling us here, there's a blessing when you associate with the right people, and there's a blessing when you refuse to associate with the wrong people. And today you can begin to shift your future when you take inventory of your friends. Ask yourself this morning, who am I walking with? Who am I standing with? Who am I seated with? What type of people are they? Because they hold a powerful place in your life. There are three facts that prove the powerful influence of friends. Number one, you become like the company you keep. Just say that after me. You become like the company you keep. Proverbs 22:24-25 says, do not befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. And the fact is, you cannot spend a lot of time consistently with certain people unless you become just like them. And sadly, this is the snare the enemy uses on a lot of Christians who believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you've got a solid faith in God, you were raised in the church, but when you came to UG or UPSA, or you took a job at a new company, you began to associate with a certain type of people. And because you wanted acceptance or affirmation or favor, you began to laugh at their jokes and join in their conversation, and you found yourself doing things that made you just like them. And eventually you moved on and sold your body for what you could get. You compromised your convictions for how you could get ahead. And now you look at your life and you've done things you never thought you would do. You've gone beyond even what your unbelieving friends have done. You've surpassed them in sin. But the fact is, if you share the lifestyle of the wicked, you'll also share the downfall of the wicked. For you can't participate with sinners and not share the consequences. Proverbs 1:14-15 warns us of the danger of going along with unbelievers. Listen to what the Bible says that they use to entice us. Sinners say, come, throw in your lot with us, we'll all share the loot. In other words, participate with us and we'll all benefit. We'll have a lot of good things, treasure and pleasure that we'll enjoy. But Bible says, my child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. You may look at certain friends at school or at work or in your community. You might think, well, if I participate with them, I'm going to enjoy what they're enjoying. But I guarantee you, friend, you will also participate in their heartbreak. For you cannot trust the wicked to help you in any way. The Bible says, don't go with them. For the truth is, if you adjust your lifestyle to rhyme with unbelievers, you're going to end up going astray. That's the lesson learned the hard way by the goat. One time there was a goat who was looking for friends. She wanted to be friends with anyone. And one day she saw the beautiful, crafty fox running through the forest. And the goat decided she wanted to be a friend of the fox. Now the parents became very concerned for the goat. And they warned the goat about the fox that she should stay away from him because he's a crafty animal. But despite all these warnings, the goat wouldn't listen to advice. She wanted to make friends with the fox, so she was always looking for an opportunity to go along with him. Well, one day the fox was running through the forest and didn't watch where he was going, and he accidentally fell into a deep well from which he couldn't get out. The goat passed by shortly afterwards and asked the fox, "What are you doing down in the well?" "Oh, have you not heard?" the fox said. "There's going to be a very severe drought in this village. So I jumped down here in order to be sure to have water by me. Why don't you come down and join me?" The goat, thinking that the fox was very kind and wanting to be his friend, jumped down into the well. But as soon as the goat got into the well, the fox immediately jumped on her back, and putting his feet on her horns, he managed to jump up out of the well. Then turned to the goat and said, "Goodbye, friend. And remember next time, never trust a friend who will pull you down." If you follow a fox into a pit, don't be surprised when you end up stuck in the pit. Follow a sinner into sin and you'll end up bound with his chains, captured by his sin and imprisoned with his shame. Follow the blind and you will also go astray. Walk with those in darkness and you will lose your way. And that brings us to the second fact that shows us about the powerful influence of friends. The wrong friends will lead you astray. 1 Corinthians 15:33, God says it plainly, do not be misled, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. And you cannot escape it. It's going to happen every single time. Wrong friends will lead you astray. For the truth is, the pull of temptation down is always greater than the pull of the temptation to go up. We're often tempted to do wrong, but how often are we tempted to do right? The pull is down, and if you associate with a crowd that is down in the gutter, they're going to pull you down with them, and it will affect your future. That's the lesson that Eunice learned the hard way. Eunice was a woman selling in the market, and she had a friend named Mama Charlie who sat next to her, and they sold side by side. Over the days and weeks and months, they became friends, and they used to talk every day about their condition of life. Well, at a point in time, Eunice hit a rough patch in her marriage. She started to quarrel with her husband. And so one day she came to sit by Mama Charlie and complained to her. She was shedding tears, talking about how they'd fought and how her husband had treated her and what he'd said. Well, Mama Charlie seemed so sympathetic, and she started asking Eunice questions. "Hey, my poor dear, tell me, how much money does he give you every month?" When Eunice told him, Mama Charlie said, "Eh, that tightwad, he's no good." And every day when Eunice came to complain and cry, Mama Charlie would pour on the sympathy and criticize the husband. In fact, the more she talked, the more Eunice became discontent, and the worse things got at home. Until finally, after a few months, the marriage was irretrievably broken. Eunice left the husband and divorced him. She came to Mama Charlie looking for sympathy and consolation. But to her surprise, shortly after she left her husband, Mama Charlie stopped coming to the market to sell. And so one day Eunice started asking the other sellers, where's the woman who sat next to me, Mama Charlie? She was always so kind. And then they began to say, oh, didn't you hear? She has met a very nice man with a lot of money who's taking good care of her, and she's not coming back to the market to sell again. Wait! There she is now. She's coming with her new husband. All the sellers rushed to the roadside, and they saw a car passing. And inside there was Mama Charlie. But Eunice got the shock of her life when she looked at the other side. She saw that the man with Mama Charlie was her ex-husband. Hey! All Eunice could do was sit and stare as she realized that Mama Charlie had stolen her man. All the advice Mama Charlie gave her was simply a trick to spoil the marriage so she could take the man for herself. When you associate with bad company, it will corrupt you, and in the end, it is you that will suffer the most. That's why Proverbs 29:24 says, befriend an outlaw and become an enemy to yourself. When the victims cry out, you'll be included in the curses. We've got to avoid wrong friends, but at the same time, we must understand today that the right friends can lead you to good. And that's our third fact, showing the powerful influence of friends. The right friends will lead you to good. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. We can all think of friends that have influenced us positively. If you're honest today, you can look back on your life and realize there was someone at a point in time in your time of need who helped you or guided you or encouraged you. That's certainly true in my life. As I look back over my life and ministry, I realize it's the influence of the right people at the right time that has kept me on course. It's lifted me when I was down and corrected me when I was wrong. And that's what good friends are for. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, let us help each other to love others and to do good. See, a friend is someone sent by God to help you be a better person. A friend is someone sent by God to help you walk the right path. A friend is someone to help you make the right choices and grow closer to God. A true friend, a good friend, can influence your life, shape your character, and shift your future. Let's turn our notes over to page 2 and see the second step you need to take. For you see, when you understand the powerful influence of your friends, then you need to go to step 2, which is this. Become intentional about your friends. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word intentional. Become intentional about your friends. The fact is, you have to choose your friends. You can't allow your friends to choose you. I believe that your forecast for your future will not change until the climate conditions change. If it's sunny outside and it's going to rain, there must be the introduction of a rain cloud before the forecast can change. And in your life today, nothing will change unless you introduce new conditions that will change the climate. That's why this sermon series is called Friend Shift. There's going to be a shift in your friends that will result in a shift in your future. The fact is, friendship is one of those areas you have a lot of control over. You may not be able to control where you came from or the family you were born into. You may not be able to control the people who work with you or those who are around you. But you can choose those you hang out with on a personal level. You can choose how close you get to the friends around you. And there are many divine relationships God brings into your life. People He wants to use to bless you, but you have to pursue them intentionally. If we're honest today, most of us would have to admit that we're not very intentional about our friends. We're more casual. Most of us have friends based on chance. Well, we happen to meet somebody at a party and we struck up a friendship and now we're hanging out together without any thought as to where the friendship will lead. For most of us, friendships have developed simply by proximity. We sit next to someone at work, we stay in the same hall at the hostel, we live in the same compound, and we just allow a friendship to develop. The fact is, we all need friends. They're a vital necessity in life. But people who understand the powerful influence of friends won't just allow friendship to develop by chance. People who are successful in life are intentional in friendships. That's why this morning I want to give you three questions to ask yourself today about your friends. Here's the first question. What am I seeking in this friendship? Many friendships just develop by chance. We're not intentional. But when you're intentional about your friendships, you understand that you're seeking God for His purposes to develop. If you don't understand God's plan for your relationships, you will end up going astray. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The Message Bible translates it like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And if you don't have a vision from God for the relationships you're in, you're going to end up stumbling all over yourself and going astray. Ask yourself this morning, what am I seeking in this friendship? Am I seeking that my needs will be met, or am I seeking God's purposes to be fulfilled? Am I seeking to do His will, or am I just seeking to overcome loneliness? Do I expect this friendship to bring me affirmation and acceptance, or am I looking for a approval from friends when I should be looking to God? For too often, we only seek friendships for meeting our needs with no thought of God's purposes. And the fact is, when you come into a relationship desiring to be affirmed or appreciated or loved or accepted, you put yourself in a subservient position which allows the other person to unduly influence you. Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is servant to the lender, which in friendships means if I have a need that I expect you to meet, I become your servant and you rule over me. If I need approval or affirmation or favor or acceptance, I will end up doing what I didn't plan to do because I want to gain favor from you. And that leads to tragedy.
Experience deep worship. Hear life-changing sermons by Pastor Whitcomb.
And the Bible says all the people saw it and they lifted their hands and said, Jehovah, He's the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord.
Enjoy a truly friendly experience. Join us at Agape House in East Legon every weekend. A warm welcome awaits you. Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, East Legon. Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. First Sunday service from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Second Sunday service, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Join us next week. at this time, on this station, for another episode of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.